I'm never gonna give up the name of Wake Up HCC. I really, really like saying that in the morning. Like, I like waking people up.
Very, very aggressively too. You're like, wake up, HCC.
Like, you gotta wake up. Yes, you gotta wake up. You know, funny story about that is when my daughter was little, that's one thing she would literally come and do to me. Like, when she was a baby, she would come and get on my bed and she would open my eyes. Like, with her finger, she would like literally open my eyes and be like, wake up, wake up. So maybe that's where that's coming from, that aggressiveness. Is like,
my dad would shake me awake in the morning and he'd start singing. It was the most annoying thing in the world. He'd go, good morning, good morning, good morning, 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 and slowly like start shaking me faster and faster until I was awake.
Oh, my kids would not like that at all. No. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, today, today is Wednesday. It's September the 11th. And I know that this day can bring a lot of different emotions to people. It's a day where I know in New York and Washington and Pennsylvania, they're doing, you know, remembrance of what happened 18 years ago. And 18 years ago is actually the year that I arrived into this country. It's been 18 years. I did not get the opportunity to see the Twin Towers. Unfortunately, I was planning a trip to New York. I remember so clearly to go see the buildings. And then this happened in September. I was going to go, like, I think in October. And, you know, I just never got the opportunity to see it. So our hearts are definitely, you know, with everyone, really, because even though I didn't have anyone there and I didn't know anybody who got personally affected by it, it's something that still touched everyone deeply, not just in the States, but I think around the world. It's something that people in Ecuador still kind of talk about. And it was a defining moment, I think, for a lot of the people around the world. So, we're not going to talk about that today, but we did want to mention it, and we did want to make sure that we let everyone know that it's something that we definitely don't want to go back to, but at the same time, we do not want to forget, and we want to grow stronger and better from things like that. And, you know, talking about the world and switching gears a little bit and going into our conversation for today, the world is a huge thing, but at the same time is a little tiny thing. I can't tell you how many people I've come in contact, you know, from Ecuador who happen to also be here in Maryland, or I go around the world and you're traveling and suddenly you see a familiar face that you would never expect to see. And that is really, really cool. And that's something that HCC, you know, HCC loves diversity. They love to push their students to explore and to try new things. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And Mary Ellen, she is here with us. She's the director of international education here at Howard Community College. And she has great opportunities for everyone that we're going to dive into. And I have to say, I wish I had known more about this when I was a student, because traveling around the world is one of the things that I really want to do. So welcome this morning.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, absolutely. And today there is an actual fair happening. So we're not only going to talk about some of the opportunities, but you have a very real opportunity to come and speak to people today from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Borough Galleria about these opportunities and get to know what they really are like. So let's start, Mary, just because I love to get to know the people that I talk to better little bit before the conversation.
Good.
If you can just give us a little bit of background and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
And how you got to where you are today.
Okay, that's great. Well, when I was college age, the age of our students who are going abroad right now, I was a French secondary education major. So I wanted to be a French teacher.
Oh, wow.
And one of the not many people went abroad back then. There weren't a lot of study abroad programs, certainly nowhere near the amount of opportunities that exist for students today. So I kind of did the traditional junior year abroad in the south of France and lived with host families and learned French. And it clearly changed my life in many ways. I was a French teacher for a number of years after that. And quite frankly, after after I graduated from college, my first job, I answered an ad. This was before the internet times, which dates me, of course. But I answered an ad in the New York Times, and I actually went and homeschooled two kids in French Polynesia and taught them intensive French for a year. So I was with this family for a year. So I went abroad again.
Yeah.
And during my time teaching French, I was able to bring a group of eighth graders to France, and they even did a homestay during that time. And I kind of thought in my head, wow, it would be really cool to facilitate this kind of movement across borders and help students have these experiences, and maybe an opportunity for me to grow professionally and get out of the classroom a little bit.
Yeah.
So I went to grad school in order to do this kind of work, and I've really been doing it ever since. So for a good 20 plus years now.
That's wonderful. So, you know, you've been saying that you always knew kind of like you wanted to do something with French, you want to be a French teacher. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to do that? Was it your family background or just...
Well, I honestly had a lot of influential teachers and instructors in my life. So I knew I wanted to be in education and around learning. And I think, you know, the funny thing is I thought I was going to be a math teacher, and I think I hit calculus, and then I was kind of like, okay, I'm not going to, no one was really giving me a purpose for taking math, but my dad was kind of like, well, you know, you love French, and he had been drafted in the Korean War, but sent to Europe.
Okay.
And I think he was kind of trying to live vicariously through me. So he was like, if you go to France, I can get back to France.
Okay.
So yeah, that was it. And I think, you know, it really opened my eyes academically to a different way of learning. I was certainly, I'm kind of part introverted, so I was a really shy student back in the day.
Interesting.
And so people really helped me there. Instructors helped me kind of get out of my comfort zone. I had a family that helped me. They made me come down to the dinner table every day with questions because I was kind of really shy to talk to the family.
Yeah.
And they wanted to interact with me. So I really, it kind of changed my personality and helped me be a lot more outgoing and a risk taker, frankly.
Yeah.
So it helped me grow a lot personally and gain confidence.
You know, I had back to school night yesterday for my son, and he's taking French actually right now. And we obviously speak Spanish at home. That's my first language, and he speaks English. And the teacher said, you know, she said, I am so proud of David because he could have taken the easy route and gone and taken Spanish because he already masters it. But he was like, but you know, he's going for a third language. She was like, I'm so proud of him because that expands his global, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what she said, but it's like, you know, it kind of like tunes him a little more into the world.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking to myself when she said that, it's like, that's just by learning a language, you know? When you travel, I mean, it just really opens your eyes.
It does.
Yeah. For me to go back home, and we had the fortune to go back home this summer and to take the kids with me, and I mean, driving is different.
Yeah.
The highways look different. The everything is so different. And I saw my kids really kind of looking at it. Now that they're a little older, paying a little more attention. And the construction is different. The houses are different. You really see poverty, you know, at its best in some of the areas in Ecuador.
I've been to Ecuador, so yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it just, and that's just one country. You know, I haven't had the opportunity yet to travel to as many countries as I would like to, because traveling is something that I'm really passionate about. But it just really shows you that your reality is not the only reality.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. No, we're not. I don't think intentionally they mean to be kind of self-centered and ethnocentric, is, you know, they, but yeah, it does expand your worldview and your perspective, and there are other people out there doing all kinds of amazing things, and it's good for our students to get out there and learn about that.
Right. And it makes you, I think, a little bit more a little easier to have a little more empathy for others.
Yeah. Empathy is one of the hallmarks of intercultural communication. And without it, you know, and it's not always a given that we all know how to be empathetic too. It really can be learned and developed.
Right.
And it's really a lifelong process to be empathetic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first arrived here, I felt like I was in a movie, you know, because my reality had been so different, just so different. The tall buildings, not that there are not tall buildings in Ecuador, but not neighborhoods filled with tall buildings necessarily. Right. And I mean, just everything was really different. And I felt like I was in a movie so many times, just walking downtown Baltimore.
Like, right. Sure.
You know, that was like, oh, my gosh, I am in Hollywood kind of thing. Right. And it's just because we get in this bubble, and we have this idea of what the world is and how it works based on our reality. But the moment we step away from that reality, mm-hmm. it just really opens our eyes, and it really teaches us and shows us that there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people out there in this world that live very differently than how we do. And if we can understand that, maybe we can take that on our daily encounters and everything that we do on a daily basis.
100%.
And just realize that at the end, we're all humans and we're all looking for the same thing, which is to be happy, right. You know?
Sure. Absolutely.
So tell us a little more about the opportunities that you guys have here at HCC and, you know, some of the things that people will see today when they come to the Borough Gallery from 11 to 1.
Great. Well, as a community college, and most students are here for 2 years, and we offer academic 4-credit short-term faculty-led programs. So basically all these programs they carry credit and they're a class.
Okay.
So it's a way of, it's hard sometimes for students to imagine because you picture sitting in a class doing your work or whatever, but the world, wherever you are, your site becomes your classroom. And we have really talented faculty that work with my office, work with me to develop these programs and design these programs. So there are, it's more than a tour, it's more than a vacation. It's bringing the course content to life mm-hmm. through all kinds of site visits and through, hopefully, and we're working on this really hard right now, active learning. So we're trying to facilitate even more meaningful, high-impact practices during these programs, such as short stints of service learning, cultural interactions, hands-on experiences. So again, we don't want to just take students necessarily from site to site. That's part of it. You have to do that. You need to see the castles, you need to see the museums, you need to see the churches and all of that. But we also want them to start interacting with peers and people from the culture mm-hmm. and having those kinds of cultural experiences that enhance the academic work. So they're getting the academic content, but they're also meeting our program objectives of learning about culture, learning how to interact effectively across cultures, and being, I think, a more effective global citizen, right?
Yeah.
And so they can take this forward into the schools they transfer to or into their jobs, be really strong candidates for jobs, because if they can talk about this when they get into interview situations, then they're gonna have a leg up on somebody else who hasn't had these experiences.
Absolutely.
And HCC is very dedicated to creating these types of experiences for students, so we're setting them up for success in life. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be on a specific track? So do you have to be a student of, I don't know, nursing or, you know, some career that comes to my mind right now in order to take advantage of these opportunities?
It depends, right?
Okay.
It depends how you want it for credit and how you want it to count towards graduation. So our academic advisors here play a big role in helping students plan out how these can fit into their academic plan.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if you look at what we have this year, we have two programs going over spring break. One is a math-focused STEM program. It's actually our one kind of signature program in the United States. We have a program in the Southwest where they go to the Hoover Dam and the Grand Canyon and the Lowell Observatory. And you can kind of be in any one of 5 math classes for that. And you kind of do a project for any one of those math classes. And the faculty kind of cultivate that project while you're there on the ground. We also have an ethics and literature.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You have math and visiting all of these places.
Exactly.
So.
Right.
You would never think.
You would never think. The faculty think about it, though, right? So we have some wonderful, again, we have Adrienne Coleman and Loretta Tokely who run that program. We also have an ethics and literature class that's running in Ghana. So this is a new program this year. And if students are approved to go on that program, they'll be in a full semester class, ethics and literature, that can count towards gen eds, graduation, whatever. They will be exploring some critical global issues like the slave trade and environmental issues while they're there, and also doing some service learning with our sister city there, Tema. We also, in the summer, we have a physics class exploring science in Bermuda, which is, you can imagine, they're in Bermuda for a week and taking samples and swimming and hiking and doing things like that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Right.
And a great opportunity.
Kind of
hands-on, you know.
Hands-on. All day, all night. That's what you're doing. We will also have a new culinary program, a pastry program called Passport to Pastries, where students will go to a very well-known pastry school for 5 days of the 12 or 14 days that they're abroad and take their requirement, right? Basically their pastry requirement. So it's embedded in their curriculum. Mm. We also have a program.
And that's in?
That's in France. Sorry about that. We also have a program in Ireland that has an option of two courses, Intro to Humanities or Travel and Tourism. So kind of a variety there. That's what we have this year. We have some new things in the works for the future. And you mentioned nursing. And I think one of the ways to get more students abroad and the way to get a diverse group of students abroad and to appeal to as many students as we possibly can is to have a diverse portfolio of programs. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that right now. So hopefully we'll have some kind of health science or something like that represented in the future and other departments that aren't represented in the portfolio that we have now.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
And you know, it's exciting. Like I said, when you talked about math and being, you know, it's like I would have never thought of how you can incorporate math into a travel abroad thing, right? Yep. I think the only thing that where I've seen it kind of like that is on that movie with Nicolas Cage where he is, right? Treasure, I think it's called. That he's trying to find a treasure.
Finding a Declaration of Independence. National treasure.
National treasure. But I would have never thought that we can do that in college, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really, really cool. So when people come today to the Barrel Gallery, what can they expect to find? When they're, it's 2 hours and I understand you guys are going to have different setups for all of this program.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So can you just give us, I guess, help us paint a picture for everybody who's listening?
It's a way to reach more students. We visit a lot of classes and work with a lot of the cohorts like Pride and Silas Craft and kind of one-on-one, and the faculty certainly help us. But this is a way that if nobody's heard of us or if the students want to come talk to the faculty directly who are running the programs, we'll all be there in the same space for 2 hours. So they can learn about the programs. They can learn about the day-to-day itineraries. They can ask questions. They can come talk to me about what the process is like, what they have to do to apply for one of these programs. They also can talk to me about scholarships. HCC wants to really support our students, and we have a very robust, and I don't say that lightly, we have a really robust scholarship program. It's really exciting. So there's money out there that students can apply for to help them with to defray the cost for these programs.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you that question. If, taking a class like this is the same as taking a regular credit course, or if there's more a cost associated with it.
Yeah, there are two costs. So you do have to pay for your credits, of course, right? So that's one thing. But because you're traveling, there's also a program fee. So every program has a program fee. They vary from program to program and varies on the length and where the students are going. But the program fee includes round-trip airfare, all the lodging, some food. Every program's a little bit different, and the housing situations are a little bit different. So sometimes students can cook on their own. Sometimes people are going out. I know when we run our Italy program, there's a lot of communal kind of Italian meals, and that's part of the culture. So they do that. It includes any ground transportation. Any entries, excursions, things like that. So the students really just need their own spending money and some of their meal money for that too. So our scholarships are really applied to the program fee.
Okay. And when you guys travel, right, is there a number of people, maximum number of people per program, or is it unlimited?
Yeah. Every program is going to be different. So there's always a minimum number of students.
Okay.
That's why we're out there marketing and recruiting students and trying to get the word out as best we can, because we want the programs to run. We want to fill them. So some of the programs too, the number is dependent on space. Like Bermuda, it's a 10-student program because they go out in a boat and there's only 10 spots in the boat.
Okay.
I'd say there is a maximum number, but I don't know if we'd really reach that because it also depends on faculty to student ratio and bus space and things like that. So it just depends. But we certainly would love to hit those max numbers. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if somebody is enrolled in a different school, say Towson or one of the other local universities, and they wanted to take this class they wanted to get the credit,
They can. They have to kind of apply through the school and do the application here and be in the system and whatnot. But yes, they can.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I know that IHSC also has agreements with high schools. Is that an opportunity that's up for them yet or no?
Well, Potentially. They have to be 18 before they leave for the program. Okay. We need everybody to be over 18 for kind of
lots of reasons. We want adults.
I
understand that. So, you know, and I'm asking all of these questions because I know that there's a lot of people listening and watching and traveling abroad. I mean, it just seems like such a great opportunity. And I'm really love that you made the distinction at first where it's not just let's go for fun, but there is a fun component.
You're
going
to have to work. Right? And there's, sometimes students are, you know, there's work while you're there. Some of the work is online. Some of the work is done before or after you get back. It's a mix. It depends on how the faculty run the courses. I went for about 5 or 6 days with the group who went to Ireland this past June to kind of see my I've only been here for about a year and a half, so it was my first time to do a site visit. And it was great to see students giving presentations on site. They had homework. They had to do research. So they're more involved in kind of the day-to-day.
So depending on the program, you will be doing work before, after, in between.
Sometimes during, absolutely, yeah.
So just be prepared for that. Yes, it is a great opportunity. It's a fun opportunity, but you will have some work associated with it. So just be aware of that,
exactly.
Right? We just want to make sure that people understand that it's not a vacation per se, but you do get an opportunity to go and explore and just really expand your knowledge in a very hands-on opportunity.
Right. And it doesn't mean it's not fun. Like, I think for a lot of learners, because there's so many different types of learners, this can really appeal to people who might have challenges in the classroom, or it can really make things come to life. It can make it, really a wonderful experience and spark interest that they might not have known they had.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, traveling many times requires to have a passport and to have a visa ready. Mm-hmm. How does HCC assist students when it comes to that?
Well, we have a really lovely holistic kind of advising process in my office right now. All students are required to do a 15-minute online kind of study abroad 101 webinar before they take an application.
Okay.
And then we have a program coordinator in our office and me, and we coach the students through the whole process. Okay. So if they don't have a passport, well, today the passport, there'll be somebody from the post office and they can talk about the paperwork and the money and even get photos taken and things like that so they can learn about it. We can help them through. We only have one program that requires a visa right now for American citizens. It might be different for somebody who's not an American citizen. That's Ghana, and that fee and the process is rolled into the program, basically. Okay. So we're going to coach everybody through the paperwork, collect it all at once, get it down to the embassy. So we try to make it as easy as possible, and we also try to involve the students in the process. It's a step forward developmentally for them too, if they've never done this type of thing. So we want them to succeed. And we see everything we do as a learning opportunity, from filling out your paperwork and writing your scholarship essay to going to orientation and learning about everything you need to do before you travel, all of that. So they're kind of bonded to us. They're kind of wed to us through the whole process, which is nice. We get to know everybody pretty well.
Now, we said that this is a class for credit.
Yep.
But I know that here at HCC, we have a lot of people who just want to have classes, not necessarily for credit or anything like that. Is that an opportunity for somebody who's just taking classes sporadically here and there?
You can opt not to do these for credit.
Okay.
We're encouraging people to be a part of the class because it's really what the experience is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're more involved in the content of the class. So that's what I would say to that. But there's a handful of people every year that do it not for credit.
So if this is something that it's calling your attention and you have questions and you're not sure maybe that you qualify for it, you're like, well, but I don't see any, I haven't heard any classes that might connect with my, with my coursework or with my career, I would say just come in and talk to Mary. Come in and talk to them today, either at the fair, if you're going to be around HCC and you have time to stop by between 11 and 1, or afterwards, just come reach out to them, talk to them and see. Studying abroad, I know that all of our curriculums in every school that I've researched, at least, give you the opportunity for electives. And looking back, I'm sorry that I didn't take an elective that took me, you know, abroad, because even though it was not going to be related necessarily, you know, to my career, because I was an electronic medium film and I haven't really found many opportunities for study abroad.
They're out there now.
Yeah. So I at the time there weren't, right? But I could have gone and I could have still gotten a much deeper, experience, just learning. It just makes you... It's something that you take with you, even if it's not the study part per se that's going to be applied to your career. You know, just the traveling, just the, like you were saying, the handling all the paperwork, the handling the schedules, the being away from everybody.
Yeah. It's a big step.
It's a huge thing. It's a big personal growth opportunity. So definitely explore it. Yeah. Definitely explore it. So if people have questions, if they are not able to come today because their schedules don't allow it, how can they get in touch with you?
They can come to our office, which is in CL113. They can email us, which is intled@howardcc.edu. And they can also call us, which they can find our phone number online.
So we talked about Bermuda, France, Ireland, the opportunities for summer, Ghana, the Southwest USA, and spring break. Are most of the opportunities usually after the semester ends or in break periods?
It's usually break periods. So right now, kind of spring break and then summer, sometime throughout the summer. And a lot of students traditionally at other schools, four-year schools, go for a whole semester, but our students are only here for two years. So I also talk to a lot of students if they can't fit it in for some reason, although we really want them to try and start early planning. That early planning is the key to all of this. So we're really trying to talk to the first years really to get them in the door and learning about this so they can fit it into what they do before they leave. But they're all going to go on to many wonderful schools that have strong study abroad programs. And a lot of students I know, once they do one of these short-term programs, it's like they get to dip their toe in and explore and get out of their comfort zone. But then they're like, oh, when I go to my four-year school, I'm going to go for a semester. Mm. And then they can potentially, like you said, they can delve into their field of study a little bit more deeper. It could be in their major and whatnot. So a lot of students will do multiple study abroads in their four-year undergraduate tenure. Yeah.
And I think, you know, just like, you know, we've talked before about internships and what that brings and the experience that you get and the opportunities to create relationships with people already in your field. You're getting that same thing through a study abroad, but you're expanding it because it's not just locally now. Now you're doing the same thing, but in the world.
Exactly.
And like we said, you know, the world is a small thing at the end of the day.
Yeah. And we really want all students to take this opportunity. It's not for one specific cohort. It's really, we're really trying to get the word out to all students that this is something for everybody. And if you've never thought about it, even better. We want our programs to be diverse. We want our students to be diverse. We want the numbers of our participants to reflect who our student body is. All of this is really important. It's also the reason why I'm here at a community college. You know, I've worked at four-year schools, and I think it's really special that HCC has this level of commitment to international education, global education, and study abroad. So I feel really, really lucky to be here.
Are there opportunities like this for staff and faculty?
Yeah. Well, we have grants that run through our office. So at each semester, faculty and staff can watch for emails from me. And we have several grants, kind of with a little bit of different stipulations, but they're not for developing study abroad, frankly. There's a whole separate process for that. But for attending conferences, for doing research, for globalizing their curriculum. So yeah, those grants exist, and I'd say anywhere from maybe 3 to 6 faculty go abroad. And it's for staff too. Some of them are for staff, can go abroad to do projects. And we want everybody, you know, the staff and faculty want our whole community to have these global skills and be better global citizens. So it's really for all of us to be learning about this and bringing it forth in our daily existence here.
And the global distinction, before I let you
sure?
go, we
oh,
gotta
good.
what is that and what does that entail?
Sure. Global distinction is exactly what it sounds like. It's a global program for our students, and it earns them a distinction on their transcript and accord when they graduate. And basically, they have to fulfill a series of globalized courses, and there's a lot to choose from that will probably fit in their majors and their programs of study. 8 of those credits have to be foreign language, which makes sense, right? You got to do a language to be global. They also have to study abroad or have some kind of intercultural or international experience. It could be one of our alternative spring breaks here. It could be doing an internship with Columbia Association sister cities. There's things we can help them with. And they have to participate and attend international, intercultural, or diversity events on campus, like International Ed Week. We always have things for them to do. They can come hit the road with us and promote. They can come to the fair today and help us. So we work with the students to try to get them more involved in kind of global education on the campus, too. So it's not just out there. It's here. It's here on campus. And we're trying to grow the program, so we're really looking for students for global distinction this year to get it, kind of reinvigorate it, and get people involved in it.
So if, you know, studying abroad is something that you've maybe thought about but had questions or weren't sure how to go about it, today you have a great opportunity to go and speak to people from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Borough Galleria. And if today is not a good day, Mary, if we can just repeat for everybody the way that they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Come on down to CL113. We're a friendly office, and we want to see you in there. We're open from 8:30 to 5 p.m. Most days we're a small staff, so sometimes, you know, we have to go to meetings or whatever, but usually there's somebody there. You can also email us at intled@howardcc.edu, and you can set up an appointment with any one of us.
So explore the world, you know, expand your knowledge, expand your opportunities, just your vision, just grow as a person and take advantage of the study abroad opportunities. I think there are wonderful opportunities for all students here at HEC, and what you get from it is not something that I can start to explain, and words don't do it justice, right. I don't think.
Right. Also food. You can try something.
Of course.
Which is always good. Fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Mary, thanks so much for coming and being part of this program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And that's all the time we have today. Have a wonderful Wednesday. We will be back on Monday and stop by the Borough Galleria from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Have a good Wednesday.
Bye, guys.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.